And so Luke chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 1. So look at verse 1. It goes on and says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governor in Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up to Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now they were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you, and you will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men.' And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they heard and seen as it was told to them." So again, as we read this account, the story of the birth of Christ, you know, and we look at this proclamation that were given, it was given to the very first missionaries that ever walked the earth. I like to look at the shepherds. They were the very first missionaries. The gospel was given to them. And these shepherds that were out in the field, it's a story that has been known as the greatest gift ever given to mankind. And we as Christians, you know, and we think about Christmas, you know, all these gifts. But the greatest gift that was ever given to man is what this story is talking about. Look at verse 10 again. It says that the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And then in verse 14, it goes on and says, "And glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So you can imagine the joy and the excitement that was going in the hearts of these shepherds. Here they are lying in out in the fields, and they're watching over the sheep. And obviously, these are the sheep that the priest would use to sacrifice. And again, shepherds were considered like gypsies, you know, low life. They were looked down upon. And yet, God came to them. So you can imagine their excitement that was going on in their hearts. They were just giving the news about the greatest gift ever given to mankind. And you know, you got to think about this. Now, remember the excitement that you had when, remember when you were a kid and on Christmas Day? Remember when we were young back in the 60s? And some of us, it was the 60s, some of us, the 70s, some even the 40s, you know? And the excitement as a kid, I remember the days when Christmas was coming. We could hardly get up. There were six of us, You know, we couldn't hardly wait to open up the gifts, you know, and probably like me, I'm sure all of you did the same thing. You probably checked out the presents before Christmas Day came. I mean, how many of you done that, right? Remember doing that? You go and you check the name. I would go and check all the names on the presents and make sure I had enough, you know. You take them, you try to figure out what was in the box, shake them, you know. I went even as far as I even pulled the tape back, and I would open it up to see exactly what they were. Or maybe you're even that person that would switch the tags on the gifts. So you get the bigger, the better gift. You know, remember those days? Now, as a Christian, you know, we look at Christmas differently. Because now that we're born again, our excitement in regards to Christmas has changed. Now it's Christmas. You know, we're born again, so that excitement changes because now we have a reason for celebrating it. Right? It becomes more personal now. It's very personal to me, Christmas. I love Christmas, but I love the story of the greatest gift ever, not the commercial side of it. It's more meaningful because the gift becomes part of our life now. It's greater and more personal. Look at verse 11. He said, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Christ the Lord." So as we celebrate Christmas, now we're celebrating Christmas. I like to say Christmas with our loved ones. And we get to enjoy the time that we get to have with them, you know. But the whole purpose of Christmas is bringing Christ into that day, bringing Christ into your gifts, sharing the love of Christ with one another, you know, and sharing testimony as you share your gifts with one another and the food and everything. And so I like to look at Christmas in my home as Christmas. Now, we, as I'm sure a lot of you, I like Christmas trees. How many of you like Christmas trees? I like Christmas trees. I'm going to get me a Christmas tree. I love the smell. I love fixing it up. But the whole purpose of that is we have a Christmas tree in our living room. And today, tomorrow morning, I'm going to get to share with my children and my grandchildren. And I'm going to bring Christ into our Christmas together. And I get to share with them, and I'm going to remind them that tree there is to remind us of the tree that Jesus died for us, that he died on for us. See that tree? We're not worshiping that tree, but I want you to remember that tree is a reminder of the tree that Jesus died on for us. How he hung on the tree for our sins and the gifts that are under the tree. We got gifts under there. I'm going to tell them, let them know that those gifts are a reminder about the greatest gift that was ever given to all humanity. There is no great gift greater, more costly than the gift that was given to us, and that was Jesus. And then the lights on the tree, we have lights on the tree and ornaments and everything. And I'm going to tell them that, you know, those lights are to remind us what Jesus said in the Word of God when he tells us that Christ is the light of the world. And the light is to shine in the darkness, and he's shining in the darkness for us. And how we need to be the same light to the world as he was. So Christmas is about Christmas. It's about the priceless present that was given to all humanity. It came from the Father himself. God gave us this gift, and it's priceless. I love seeing those commercials, you know. They're very intimate and personal, and they show family and giving gifts. And this it's all geared towards a credit card, but you know, it's talking about the credit card, but the act of it says the act itself is priceless. There is no cost. And this gift, Jesus, it wasn't given on the day that we know as a Christmas. You know, that greatest gift wasn't given on that day like we're going to celebrate tomorrow, because that gift was always there. Think about it. He was there from the very beginning of all creation. It wasn't like the day Jesus was born, that's when it all started. Jesus was there from the very beginning. We're told he's the Ancient of Days. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He was just waiting for the perfect time when that gift would be given to us. The Father was. But Jesus has been around from the very beginning. And that day came when God says, you know what? Now this is the time when I'm going to give the perfect gift to the world. And you know, when I think about that gift coming, You know, I think about the little babies that you guys had in your arms, you know, and I think about Christ. You know, when he came to this earth, he wasn't wrapped in this beautiful display of glory and wrapped in this great grandeur of splendor, and it wasn't impressive, this great impressiveness. Jesus was born, he was born personally. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He came in the womb of a virgin who had, and Mary herself, she didn't have no this great standing in her. She was no one noble or mighty. And yet, he came. And in Luke chapter 1, 35, it says that the angel answered to Mary and said that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Ladies, can you imagine if you were that person that the Lord came to you and said, hey, the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you, and you are going to give birth to the Son of God? Think about it. What a blessing that would have been, right? Man, when I think about Mary's relationship with Jesus, you know, how she raised that baby up just like her own and a child like any mother would. And the day that Jesus was on the cross and Mary came there and finally came to that cross and her relationship with Jesus changed right there at the foot of the cross. And now she realized that he was no longer her son, but he was her God. That's why she was blessed among all women. Think about that. This gift, Luke chapter 2, verse 7, says when she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in the manger because there was no room in the inn. You know, when children back then and among the Jews and the Hebrews, you know, among them, when they were born, they would quickly wash them in water. They would rub salt on. The whole purpose of that is to help their skin to become hard. And then they would wrap them in swaddling cloths, you know, but not this gift. When Jesus was born, I don't believe there was any salt around there. There was no blankets to cover him completely. Even the setting where he was born, it wasn't a great place. It wasn't in an inn, in a room, in a hotel room, a hospital. The place where Jesus was born was the only place available. It was a stable. And he was placed in a manger, or it could have been even some believe that it was a feeding trough. And Jesus was probably laid on top of straws. They probably put straws on this manger there, and he was probably laid upon this straw. And he was there in this barn with the smell of barn animals. But that's where he laid. And we're talking about the Son of God himself. And even though he was born in these conditions, he was still fully God. He was still fully God, at the same time fully man. He took on the limitations of the world. And he was born unto us. A tiny baby, just like any other baby, except he was given for ransom. This child was given for a ransom for sin and death. Jesus was the perfect sacrificial gift that was given to everyone. He came into the world just like any other baby at that time. He looked like any other normal baby at that time, but the difference was this baby's father was God. And he was conceived by God the Spirit. And therefore, this baby was sinless. Because he had to be sinless. Because no one can forgive sin unless they were sinless themselves. They were sinless. No one can save and forgive anyone from sin unless they didn't have sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And Tony read that this morning. Paul said, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We're talking about the perfect gift, the ransom of someone who can pay the penalty for our sins so that we can be forgiven. When I think about Mary's relationship with him, there, this baby lying there in this trough, in the straw, with all these animals around, with shepherds, so that we can come to God with boldness anytime. Anywhere, in any condition. No one on earth or in heaven was more qualified than Jesus. Everyone else was born natural sinners. And many will die for their own sins. But since Jesus was the only one who was sinless, he alone paid the ultimate price for our sins and for all mankind. I like what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. He said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He was born the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Jesus was the most perfect, precious gift ever given. And you know, we think about gifts, you know, a lot of us, many individuals, consider something valuable that's based on its cost, on its looks, where it came from. The more you spend, the better the gift is. I mean, we all like that, where that's embedded in all of us. And we have someone who actually calculated how much it would cost to give the gifts that are mentioned in the song of the 12 days of Christmas. You know that song? I'm going to sing it to you. On the first day of Christmas, somebody actually took everything that's mentioned in that song and put a price to it. Now listen, because the world considers gifts, the value of gifts based on its cost. So here's a perfect example, the 12 days of Christmas. One partridge in the pear tree, $184.99. They looked it up. Two turtle doves, $125. Three French hens, $150. Four calling birds, $519.96. Five gold rings, $645. Six geese a-laying, $150 apiece. Seven swans a-swimming, $6,300. Eight maids a-milking, $58. I think that may be a piece. That's some cheap labor right there, you know. I got to get me one of them, come clean my house, you know. $58, you know. Nine ladies dancing, $6,294.03. 10 lords a-leaping. I'm trying to still figure out what that is, you know. What, they just go around and jump, you know. I don't know. If you can give me this amount of money, I'll leap for you anytime. $4,766.70. 11 pipers piping, $2,427.60. And then 12 drummers drumming, $2,629.90. So the cost of just all these gifts was $24,263.18. And then I mentioned this last year, how Nia Marcus' Christmas catalog, well known, and everybody gets into that, you know, the high stores and everything. In 1963, in their catalog, their Christmas catalog, their biggest gift there was his and her submarine. They were actually selling his and her submarine for $18,000. And then that was in 1963. In 1964, it went up to a hot air balloon for $6,000. 1967, a pair of camels for $4,000. And then in 1971, an actual mummy case for $16,000. You gonna pay $16,000 for a mummy case? If I paid that much, that's gonna be my bed. 2006, they up the ante with a trip to outer space for $1.7 million. See, the world values a gift according to its cost. Now, I want to show you, because I'm talking about the greatest gift here. As a parent, I have 7 grandkids, and I tell them, don't buy me anything. I want you to make me something. I always tell them, make me something, and they always make me something. This right here is my son who's standing back there. He made this for me when he was a kid. And this is for Christmas. Listen, look at this. He's back there. Yeah. See that? He even has little orange lips. My daughter Priscilla, her Christmas gift when she was a little girl, a little child, it says, I love you, Poppy, love Priscilla. And that's a little Pac-Man on there, right? See that? You know I'm old when it has Pac-Man. And then this one again is my son. He says, I love you, Papi. And I believe that was him, or is my daughter wanted to. But this is great. I'll share this one for last. Again, this one is my son again. Yeah, and in the back he wrote, the Lord is my shepherd, Psalms 23. Aww. See that? And you might have been the Sunday school teacher here that might have done this, Carol. It might have been you, because you were his teacher. And then this one is his daughter, Selene. I kept this one, but she gave me this. She made me this. There's a picture in it. Aww. You know, priceless. And this is from Monique. This is a good one. It says, happy Father's Day. She gave me this for Father's Day. It says, love Monique Raquel Morales. And she said, this is, I put a picture in a little frame she made. And she said, this is me and you. Yeah. See the resemblance? We both don't have necks. Now I know why I don't have a neck. I don't understand how come I can grow hair on my back and chest, but I can't grow it on my head. You know. So the difference between the gifts here, I think about Nia Marcus here, and the gifts that my children and some of my grandchildren made, is these gifts here, they're from the heart, and they were given in love. And see, that's the greatest gift of all. Jesus, he was given from the heart, and he was given with great love. Because he left his father, he left all the glories and all the perfection of heaven to live among sinful people on earth. He left all that behind. And I think of Jesus, his name. We're told in Scripture his name is Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God himself walked this earth. He walked around showing the world the character and the love of the Father, and the cost that he paid for us was priceless. This is priceless. I got tons of them from my even from my grandkids, and I'm looking forward to tonight of what they made me this year. Because I tell them, don't buy me nothing. You make me something. I love it when they make me something, and they always has to do because it comes from their heart. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18, Peter said, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, for your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Guys, nothing is more valuable than what? Salvation, which is the second greatest gift ever given. The first gift is the birth of our Lord and Savior. The second gift is that birth led into salvation. And the only one who can save us is Jesus. Because God's gift for us, the greatest gift of all, is eternal life. And you know, and like us, you know, we're going to open up many gifts tonight. And I look at these gifts, you know, they're going to perish. They're going to become old. They're going to become useless. I think of the toys. They're going to break. They'll probably lose some tonight. You know, they're going to outgrow them. The clothes that we buy, they're going to wear out. They're going to become outdated. The skinny jeans I have, I won't even be able to get into them. And I think about electronic gadgets because that's the world we're in. Like cell phones. This is funny because cell phones, you know, you go out and you buy a Galaxy 7, the next day Galaxy 8 is already out. But Jesus Christ, the gift of salvation, the second greatest gift that the Father offered us, that's going to never change and that will never pass away. Even though he died on the cross, guys, even though he paid that price for us, he overcame death with his resurrection, and he lives forever. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 and 18 tells us that. And I think Jesus was the greatest example of Romans 8, 18, where it says, for I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. If anybody knows suffering, it's Jesus. And now where is he? Sitting at the right hand of the Father. He said, I've gone to prepare a place for you, and where I've gone, I'll come and get you, that you too will be there. And when we accept him as our Savior and our Lord, we're going to live forever with him in heaven. Look at verse 11. I'm going to read this one more time to you, and then we're going to prepare our hearts for communion. He says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in the manger." And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." You know what? They're talking about the greatest gift that's so priceless, at the same time it's so personal. Jesus Christ, he came to offer himself as a sacrifice for our sins and all who would believe in him and all who would call upon his name for salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 tells us that. And even though he was given to the world, guys, he was offered up for everyone. We're talking the cosmos, forever. God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believed on him would not perish, but have eternal life. He died for everyone in this planet. And even though he died for them, each and every one of us must choose whether to accept or to reject God's greatest gift, his son. Because this gift has to be personally received. It is also one gift, you know, that we can share with others, and at the same time, we get to have for ourselves. So as you spend Christmas with your loved ones, turn it around now and make it a merry Christmas. Share Jesus in the midst of your celebration, because when you do that and when you share it with others, you're offering the greatest gift of all, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen.